text for the lesson this morning will be Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning with verse 8. For through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Thank you for looking at that passage with us this morning as we will use our basis for our lesson as we're assembled here to worship God by looking into His Word. Thank you so much for being with us today. We're delighted to see you. Appreciate your being here. Thank you for your interest in spiritual things. Thank you for your dedication to God to worship Him and bring Him the sacrifices of your prayers and your songs, your contributions, if you're a member here, into the spiritual work. Thank you so very much for who you are and what you are and what type of life that you represent in this life as a Christian. We appreciate your presence so very much. In a previous lesson, we looked at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, which says, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to loving and good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The object of such a lesson like that would be particularly, specifically, to stimulate one another to love and to good works in Hebrews 10 and verse 24. In this short lesson this morning, and very important one, we'll examine the matter of good deeds which Christians are to do. Christians are to do good works is evident to any Bible student, especially the students of the New Testament, in reading passages that deal with the kind of works that grace the lives of God's people. Do not misunderstand the purpose of good works, however. Let's look at a couple of passages that can sometimes be misused by people. One is, I'm going to look at Titus 3, verses 4 through 7 first. Titus 3 says, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." It may be said that all the things to which salvation is attributed flow from the grace of God. But the New Testament nowhere teaches that a person is saved by anything alone. Let's look at Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. "For grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Grace is really a summation of all that God has done to bring salvation and spiritual blessings to humanity. If you wanted to sum that up in one word, the word would be grace. This grace of God has appeared to all men. Titus 2 and verse 11, "Why then are not all men saved?" The simple answer is that not all receive the grace of God in the right way. That is, through faith, Ephesians 2 and verse 8. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, Paul warned that one may actually receive the grace of God in vain. The New Living Translation says, "Don't accept this marvelous gift and then ignore it," is, I think, the idea in that passage about accepting the grace of God in vain. Grace really summarizes God's part that has to do with the salvation of man. Faith really summarizes man's part that has to do with his salvation in his response to the grace of God. The New Testament often pictures the idea of having faith or believing in a general or comprehensive way to include one's entire response to God and His wonderful grace. Biblical faith has a comprehensive nature to it. It encompasses a lot of different things, such things as a person's conviction, such things as trust in God that He will do what He says He will do, that His truths can be relied upon to guide our way in this life, that we can believe fully what He says about everything because of who He is. It encompasses trust. It also encompasses obedience. In spite of the requirement of obedient faith, we do not save ourselves. And that's Paul's point here in this passage. The grace of God made salvation possible to man, and the faith of man is the means by which that salvation is accepted from God. Salvation, then, is not a human accomplishment. It comes to man as a gift. While salvation is a gift of God, those who claim that man does nothing to contribute to the process of being saved should note that no one can benefit from a gift if it is not accepted. God's gift of salvation is offered to man by grace, but it is accepted by man through faith. That's what Paul is saying in Ephesians 2. If a human father offers a gift of inheritance to his child, there is no way that child will benefit from that gift unless he accepts the gift, unless he receives it. Salvation is a gift from God and not something earned by human works that could lead to boasting, and that's the point that Paul is making in Ephesians 2. Okay? As God's people, we have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. In verse 10 of Ephesians 2, for we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship, the Bible says. Created in Christ Jesus for something important. For good works, the apostle says there, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Walk in what? Walk in good works. God has prepared this beforehand. God saw good works as a part of His purpose in saving people. Part of our purpose as the saved is then to walk in those good works. The potential for doing good deeds was put into the eternal plan by this gracious God, and the fulfillment of His plan was to be seen in the changed lifestyles of those who accepted His salvation through faith. Resolving to do good deeds is a part of the decision that we must make as fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. Titus 2, 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, to redeem us from every lawless deed, the record says, and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, notice this, zealous of good works or good deeds. In Titus 3, 1, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, and be ready for every good deed. In verse 8 of Titus 3, this is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. And then in verse 14 of Titus 3, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. Why then are we to do good works? In the first place, they bring glory to God. Matthew 5 and verse 16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men." There's a purpose for that. "In such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Good works glorify our Father. When people see good works, characteristic of our lives, it gives glory to God. That's an important reason for our doing those good works. 1 Peter 2 and verse 12, "Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." So good works bring glory to God. That's a good enough reason, standalone reason by itself, why Christians should have good works characteristic of their lives. But also, they can prepare unbelievers to be more receptive to the gospel of Christ. "Keep your behavior excellent among Gentiles, so that the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." That we noticed from 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter 3, the beginning of that chapter, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word," disobedient to the word of God is the idea, "they may be won without a word by your not saying a single word." Well, how is that accomplished? "By the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, as they observe your good deeds, as they observe the light that you're letting shine before other people so that they may see it and glorify God." Furthermore, good works really demonstrate that our faith is alive. The nature of our faith, that it's living and active, that it lives within us. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says if he has faith and no works? Can that faith save him? James says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. You see, it's important for that faith to be living and active and to be demonstrated. They're necessary. Good works are certainly necessary if we're to be like Jesus. We wear His name. We want to be like Him. We're following Him. He is our example. Good works, good deeds were characteristic of His life every day. Every day of His life, every day of His existence, He performed good works. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" In Acts 10 and verse 38, Peter was in the household of Cornelius, and he told those people who were listening carefully to his words on that occasion, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth. You know of Him." And one of the statements that he made about Jesus of Nazareth, that he said all of you know, is that He went about doing good in Acts 10 and verse 38. So, good works are necessary for us to be like Jesus. They demonstrate this living and active nature of faith that is within us. They can prepare unbelievers to be receptive to the gospel of Christ because they see the manner of life that we live. And they certainly bring glory to God, don't they? Well, what good works can we do is a good question for us to consider in a lesson of this type. Some good works really are spiritual in nature. So one of the things that we can do that's a good work would be telling others about the grace of God. Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him." So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him. The excellencies of our God in heaven. How wonderful He is. How great He is. How much He has helped us when we were sorely in need. He is an excellent God. And that's why we serve Him in this life. That's why we sacrifice for Him. He is an excellent God. And we proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We may not all be teachers in a formal sense, but we can proclaim Him to other people by our words and by our actions. Furthermore, we can be encouraging to other Christians, which is a spiritual good work. Hebrews 3 and verse 13, in the midst of a warning about falling away from the faith, the Hebrew writer says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We can be a person like Philemon in the pages of the New Testament, for I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, Paul said to him, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Could a statement like that be made of me or you? Can we be refreshing to the hearts of our brothers and sisters in Christ? We most certainly can. And Paul commended Philemon for that here. Or Stephanus in 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 18. Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanus, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints. They devoted themselves to serve their brethren. That you also be in subjection to such men and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. You can be a helper in the work, a helper in the labor. I rejoice over the coming of Stephanus and Fortunes and Achaeus because they have supplied what was lacking on your part. You can be a supplier of something that's lacking in the life of someone else. That's a great spiritual work. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men. Are you refreshing to other Christians? You can be. And that is a good work. Most definitely a good work. Restoring weak brethren is another good work that Christians can do. Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, do you know anyone caught in a trespass? You know, Satan's after every person who strives to serve God. Is he going to be successful sometime at overthrowing someone? Causing them to stumble? Causing them to sin before God? Could you be a person that helps lift that person back to where he needs to be? And restore such a one into favor with God? Could you be that kind of person? If anyone is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. We can be a Barnabas, the person who took up for John Mark and came to his rescue and was an encourager to John Mark and helped him, no doubt, to grow spiritually and to be the kind of person who could stand courageously for the Lord Jesus. The importance of this work is seen in light of what James says in James 5, 19 and 20. My brethren, if any among you stray from the truth and one turns him back, could you be a person that turns someone back from straying away from truth? You could be. You could be. Verse 20 goes on to say, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. That sounds like pretty serious business to me, doesn't it, to you? Will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. How valuable is a soul? What sort of value did Jesus place on the soul of man? Could we do something to help save someone's soul? Spiritual good works. We need to remember those. Also, there are good works that are more physical in nature. Jesus did not limit his good works to strictly spiritual works. He did physical good works as well. He told the disciples of John to go back and tell him the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Go tell John these are the things that you have seen and you have heard. Good works, characteristic of our Lord, not all physical in nature. He didn't expect his disciples to limit their good works either. In the limited commission in Matthew 10 and verse 8, he commanded them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely you receive, freely give. At the judgment scene, when he's making his commendation, his approval for the way people conducted themselves in life, what he said about them was this: I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Those aren't strictly spiritual works. They're more physical in nature. And sometimes we lose sight of what we can do physically for another person. And the Bible calls it a good work. And a kind of work that Jesus would commend you for doing. And me. And any who engage in what we might call lowly, menial tasks. The Lord would be commending for that. Just as some may be gifted in talent and opportunities to do great things or to even teach someone, so others are gifted to serve in areas of physical service. Let's notice what Paul says to the Roman Christians in chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Think so as to have sound judgment, he says there, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, he goes on to say in verse 6, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Verse 7, if service is your gift, in his serving. Or he who teaches in his teaching. Or he who exhorts in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Notice these unique ways to serve God. Notice these unique and different ways to serve God. And maybe all of these are not characteristic of one person. But maybe one person can do one of these, and he or she does it very well. That is a commendable good work. And the Lord commends you for such. You might be a person who teaches, but you might be a person who exhorts or encourages people. You might be a person who gives. You may just be a giver person. And you give with cheerfulness and with liberality. And not only to the local work, but also when the needs of people are presented to you, you may be a giver. You may be that kind of person. That may be characteristic of you. You may be a leader. You may be one who leads with diligence. You may be one who gives great attention and places great importance on showing mercy to people. That is a good work. That is a commendable good work. And Paul is commending it here. He says there are people that show mercy. Do it with cheerfulness. That is a good work, Paul says. And why not even be a Dorcas who's described in the spiritual record in Acts 9, 36 through 39. And it says of her, this eternal tribute to this lady who was filled with good works. What does it say about her? This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness, is what God's Holy Spirit wrote about this woman. Abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. The record is upholding her as an example for people who would live after her, however long that is. Look at this woman. Deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. Well, what deeds of kindness and charity which she continually did? All the widows stood beside Peter when he was there to help her, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. She was a maker of tunics and garments. And God's record is with us for the rest of time, commending her for that good work. Isn't that noteworthy? When we begin to look around at ourselves and what meager little things that we do and what little things and how we esteem them so very little, and God's record says it's a good thing, good work. Keep doing it and do it with the right attitude. Keep on. Be strong. Do what you do. Let your light shine. Isn't that wonderful? No matter how we may serve the Lord, good works are a mark of pure religion. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this. James said to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's good. Those are good works. It is also a key to spiritual blessedness or happiness because James says in verse 25, to be an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. In Acts 20 and verse 35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The only direct quote of Jesus' words in the pages of the book of Acts that were not recorded in the Gospels. So let's be sure to keep in mind the admonition of Paul to Titus. In Titus 3 and verse 8, speak confidently so that those who have believed in God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. What about you? What kind of spiritual good works are you doing as a Christian? What are you doing to prepare yourself to do greater good works in service to our Lord in His kingdom? What kind of physical good works are you doing? What kind of physical works do you hope one day to be able to do? Think about those things. Who should get the glory when you are praised for doing good works? God gets the glory, doesn't He? Our lives are to glorify our Father in heaven. That's why we live. That's what we do as God's people. Give glory to God. What about you? Are you living a life that gives glory to God? Are you a Christian? Have you done what God has said that you must do in order to receive the forgiveness of sins? Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? In that belief, will you confess Him before men? Will you repent of sins that God says are sins in His book? Will you turn from those? Will you change your lifestyle for the sake of Christ? Will you be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins? Will you come up out of that water with the determination to be faithful to God all the days of your life as best as you possibly can? If that's your condition today, we can help you. We can help you walk closer with God when you leave this place than when you first came in. If we can help you in any way to walk closer with God, we'd be happy to do that. If you'll come to the front and let us know, while together we stand and encourage you by singing this song.